Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and thank the Lord we're able to share this time together again. Thank you for joining me. I'm glad you could work this time into your schedule as we enjoy the good things of the Lord. And as I was seeking the Lord for what He would have me share, I began to think that perhaps for every child of God, there's nothing that we would desire more than to be with the Lord. Isn't that right? The ending of Psalm 16 said, "In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." We want to be in the presence of the Lord. We are being prepared for that. There's a day when we will behold the Lord face to face. Even as Job said, "With my eyes I shall see the Lord." Praise God. And we know that for those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ and are born again, that is our eternal destiny, to live forever with Him in that home that he said He was going to prepare for us. However, we know that by the Spirit of the Lord, that He is actually dwelling within our earthly temple. And we also know there's a corporate manifestation when God's people come together, because Jesus said, "Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst." And He honors that faith, that commitment, that intention, that desire. And that's why I believe, even through the vehicle of a radio broadcast, as our hearts are joined and knit together in the Lord and in the things of God, that He manifests His presence. And so what I wanted to minister on, if I could have a title for it, I guess I'd call it Preparing for His Presence. And there's nothing like the Word of God to give us instruction and to give us examples. How can we prepare for the presence of God? One of the scriptures I've always loved is found in Psalm 102:16, which says, "When the Lord shall build up Zion, He shall appear in His glory." Hallelujah. Another beautiful one referring to the days in which we're living, Haggai 2:7-9 says, "And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts." You see, He's building a temple not made with hands. He's building a tabernacle of lively stones made up of believers from every tribe, people, nation, and tongue. And He goes on to say, "The glory," listen to this, it's so exciting, "the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I give peace." Praise God. So as we go to the Word of God for examples, we're going to be going to the book of 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter. And this particular point in the scriptures is a very exciting time in the life of David. He had just been anointed king over all of Israel, and he had won a stunning, spectacular victory over the Jebusites. He conquered the citadel of Zion, and it was there that he set up his throne. And what was the first thing he did? He wanted to bring the presence of the Lord. And in the Old Covenant, the sign of God's presence was the actual physical ark that was constructed according to the commandment given to Moses. And that ark was a tangible symbol, if you will, of the invisible God. To us, it's a symbol of Christ, God manifest in the flesh. However, we see just before this particular episode in 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter. Before that, as Samuel was a young boy, God began to minister to him. And I'm going to read it in the 3rd chapter of Samuel. And actually, he heard the Lord calling him, and Eli tells him to go and lie down. And in verse 10, the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy Lord servant heareth." And then the Lord pronounces judgment. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli," he was the high priest at that time, "all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." And so we see that this was actually fulfilled, and the ark was carried away. It was a tragic time, but God was very specific. He told Samuel that he would perform all those things. And we know that sin and iniquity separate man from God. There's a scripture in Isaiah, the 59th chapter. Well, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, where it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." So sin and iniquity separate us from the Lord. And what do we see in those earlier chapters of Samuel? That the ark of God was captured by the Philistines. And then in 1 Samuel, the 4th chapter, let me turn to that, verse 21, we see that Eli's daughter-in-law, who was Phinehas' wife, she died in childbirth, and she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken." And also her father-in-law, her husband died, and the sons of Eli, as well as Eli himself, broke his neck and fell off of the fence he was sitting on. So God fulfilled exactly what he said. But as God will, he will not tolerate iniquity. He is looking for those whose hearts are perfect toward him. The scripture says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to prove himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him." So what I want us to do, we're going to be looking just at this chapter and find some very thrilling, pertinent applications of how we can begin to experience the presence of God, learning from the example of David. Now, the first thing we want to do, and I'm going to start reading the text in chapter 6, is we have to understand it's not our agenda, it's not our program, but it's God's. Let's read what happened in chapter 6 of 2 Samuel. "Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baalah of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwells between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the ark on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps, and on psalteries, and on timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals." So this was a very festive, exciting, wonderful time. God had impressed upon David's heart to bring the presence of God, represented by the ark, to the very city of David. Now, think about this. The ark of God had rested in the house of Abinadab for about 20 years. David and all the leaders and congregation of Israel attempted to do the right thing in the wrong way. There's a parallel chapter found in 1 Chronicles, the 13th chapter, verses 2 and 4. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and the Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves together unto me. And let us bring again the ark of God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt, even unto the entering of Hemath, to bring the Ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. So you see, it was an exciting time, and it was a good thing that David had. But we see that the Ark, which in the former days of Israel had played so great a role, it had been neglected for many years. Remember, they used to bring that into battle, and their enemies were subdued before them. But so what do we see happening here? We see that the Ark is honored. It's now described by the name of the Lord of hosts, who has all creatures in heaven and earth at his command. He's enthroned on the mercy seat to do them good. And of course, they hadn't even spoken about the Ark. There we see there was respectful attendance. People gathered from everywhere. And of course, that was an inspiration to the young people of the nation who perhaps had never heard of the Ark, and they would see that great veneration that was being expressed for it. And there was great expressions of joy at the transport of the Ark. Restraints were taken off. The Ark has protection, support, a countenance, and encouragement of the civil powers, and it's a great day in the life of David and in all of Israel. Well, I see my time has flown away, and we're going to have to pick up on tomorrow's broadcast to see what happens next. I invite you to join me. We'll meet together at this same time, Monday through Friday, on this station. We're heard every day. And I just want to encourage you, if you have prayer needs, please don't hesitate. This ministry has been raised up by God for almost going on 50 years now to stand as a partner in prayer with God's people. The announcer will give you our contact information. You don't have to write a lot. Just write what those needs are. The Lord's given me the ability to read between the lines and to understand and know things by the Spirit. So thank you for listening. I look forward to having you join me tomorrow. And until then, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.